Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine on this beautiful Saturday morning. Good morning to you. I'm Lynette, here with Dr. Samira Umeb, the award-winning Dr. Samira Umeb. I love saying that. I hope that's okay, Dr. Umeb. We announced last week when Dr. Michael Gilbert was here that she had just won the award for being one of the top 50 women we admire in the state of Washington. And before that, it was months before, we knew you were being nominated for that, and we didn't know what that was. Like, okay, and well, you won.
Yeah, Dr. Mixon announced the nomination like I had won. Yes. I got some emails. I said, did you win something?
He knew. So now I want to call you the award-winning Dr. Samira Umeb.
That's right.
And back from his adventures in Europe, Dr. Jerry Mixon here the studio. And before I ask you, because you know I want to ask about your adventures, let's give that phone number out. If you have a question, be one of the first. I know there were a couple people last week that still had some questions. We're like, hey, call in. You can be one of the first on the show today when Dr. Mixon returns. Here's the number to get through. We are live in the studio, 206-644-6006. Now imagine some travel music as we take you back to 20 days ago when you were here on the show and then you jumped on a plane and you went to Europe. So Dr. Mixon, what are some highlights for you on your adventure?
Well, we flew into Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah.
And spent 4 or 5 days there. And I was not impressed with Amsterdam, the city itself. It's way too much of the drug and porn culture. You walk down the streets of the old city and you get high just breathing. There's marijuana everywhere. The pornography and sex toys are in every shop. You can't go to a souvenir shop without, you know, buying all sorts of stuff that here would be behind the counter or at Lover's, whatever that place is.
Oh, that's too
so,
bad.
Yeah. But the outside countryside, once you get out of the city and out among the canals and the smaller villages and the windmills, it was quite lovely, just beautiful.
Yeah.
And so after 4 or 5 days there, on the fifth day, we flew off to Prague in the Czech Republic and had a very, very nice time. I really enjoyed Prague. And they have a treat there. I like donuts.
Okay.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
But this thing is, they have a dowel, a piece of wood that is kind of shaped, cone-shaped.
Okay.
And they wrap dough around this dowel in a spiral thing from the top all the way down to the bottom. And then they put it over a charcoal fire after rolling it in cinnamon sugar. And then they roast it over a charcoal fire.
Wow.
And then they slide it off the dowel. So now you got this kind of giant cone-shaped spiral donut.
Uh-huh.
And they fill it with fruit and Nutella and berries.
Wow.
And sometimes
delicious
ice cream.
Okay.
And you can wander down the street eating 2,000 calories. In one snack.
Oh, gosh. You're not supposed to count calories at that time, Dr. Mixon. You're just supposed to enjoy the scenery.
Well, actually, we would buy one, and the three of us would eat it over an afternoon.
Okay. So,
and Ivory ate more than Bending and I put together.
Of course she did.
the 11-year-old, she wants to scarf that right now.
Well, she can burn it faster than you,
yes,
too.
Yes, she can. And so, yeah, we had a great time there. And then we took the train down to, now I'm blocking the name of the city, where the Sound of Music was from.
Oh, Strasbourg.
Vienna was next.
Vienna was last.
And anyway, we kicked around and we did the Sound of Music tours and we did the old cities and hiked and went out to the Eagle's Nest where Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun had their little rendezvous.
You were looking forward to that part of your trip, and, to seeing that.
Yeah. It was an interesting trip up the mountain. Interestingly, though, no one ever spent the night at the Eagle's Nest.
Really?
No. Yeah. It was, it was designed as a conference center.
Oh, okay.
But you get up to the top of this mountain, and then you have to go into a tunnel that was 90 meters deep. And then you take an elevator deep in the mountain up to the Eagle's Nest. But it turns out, we didn't know this, Adolf Hitler has claustrophobia, or had claustrophobia.
Oh, wow.
So he never did the elevator. Mm. He walked.
Oh, really?
They would drop him off at the beginning of the trail, and he would walk up to the Eagle's Nest for his meetings because he couldn't stand to go in the tunnel and the elevator inside.
Interesting.
So kind of interesting, yes.
Yeah.
I learned a fair bit about Herr Hitler. One of the things that I had pointed out before we left that Bandine was doing the research and came up with the fact that the Second World War was actually the fault of the German art school. Adolf Hitler's initial ambition was to be a painter. And I have seen prints of some of his paintings. He did beautiful work. Mm. He was quite the artist.
What style would Adolf Hitler do? I'm trying to imagine. I think of him more as a Picasso, but
no, he did realism, very detailed realism of German villages and folk tale sorts of stuff. I thought he was quite talented.
Wow.
But he got turned down for the art school. Mm-hmm. And so instead decided to go into politics and, murder 20 million people.
Wow.
And
lesson.
indulge his inner murderous psychopath.
Wow. His creativity went the other way.
Yeah, we should have kept him as an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, history would have been different.
A lot less damage, yes,
that's right.
Death, destruction, pain, and misery for the world.
That's right.
So, but again, it just points out how complex human beings are.
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, this was a sensitive soul and a fine artist, and in the other, a world-class murdering psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
So, go figure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so that was the Eagle's Nest.
Yes, and from there we rented a car. We drove out into some of the little Austrian villages.
Ooh.
And kicked around by some pretty lakes and so on. And then we took a train again, this time just a few hours, to Vienna.
Oh.
And spent 5 days in Vienna and the surrounding environs, which was, I really love Vienna. It's a wonderful cosmopolitan town, and you can walk everywhere. They have these streets that go for, probably half a mile with no cars allowed on the street.
Oh.
I mean, it's just shops and pedestrians and, just great walking town.
Nice.
So I really enjoy. I like walking. I like exercise. So I had a good time in Vienna.
Oh, good.
And from there, we flew back to Amsterdam for one night and then home. And I got in
yesterday.
Yesterday.
And back on the radio this morning, bright and early.
You got it. Still a little jet lag.
Okay.
So if I'm quasi-coherent at times, that's because it's the middle of the night for me.
Okay. Okay. I always like to ask what the highlight was, or you're such a foodie. You love trying everything. Was there a food that stood out?
I love good foods. Well, you know.
That was fun and different. Or maybe your kid, your wife or daughter. Well, I was going to say kids, but your daughter might have.
I enjoy duck, and they have a lot of different ways of preparing duck.
Mm.
But they also had pork in a variety of ways, including a crispy pork rind-based ham that is just stupendous.
Ooh.
Probably, I have no idea how much cholesterol I loaded my cereal.
Once or twice you do, in a lifetime. Not every day.
We won't find out anytime soon.
That's right.
I'll give it a few weeks to clear before I get my next blood test.
That's exactly right.
Very good. Very good.
You know, and I will be behaving myself for the next week because I'm going tomorrow night. I take a red-eye flight to New York and change planes at JFK and go into Albany, Trenton, New York. And I will be doing the video, a 90-minute video for public TV.
So you're going from doctor to radio host to now
television host and star. And we will be. So I'll spend 4 days making this video. And so it'll be an hour of teaching followed by 30 minutes of trying to convince people to donate money to public TV.
Very good. So, hey, if Jerry Lewis can do it, you can do it, right?
That's
he was
right.
Getting funds for hospitals. You can do it for public TV.
Yep. Why not?
Very good. Are you going to do some costume changes maybe? And maybe inside, outside?
Yeah, no.
Or in this similar area?
We were talking about that this morning. You probably haven't seen the book cover yet.
Not yet. I saw some of the
options.
They want
me to wear the same suit and so on that I did on the book cover so that I'll be recognizable as the same guy.
Oh, very good. Well, you have the fedora. Is the fedora on the book cover?
Actually, I didn't do a fedora when I did the photo shoot for the book. I did a Panama, a white straw
Panama.
That's
right. Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
So I left my fedoras home because it was hot weather.
That's true. You had the Panama.
So I did the Panama hat. And let's see, what else are we going to do there? So anyway.
That's exciting.
I'm just looking forward to it. Should have a lot of fun.
Very good. And then we will be able to see that sometime this winter. PBS special.
I license it to public TV. They can show it as often as they want throughout the country for 2 years.
Okay.
So it'll be in their rotation for, they do, I guess, 4 fundraisers a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then stations around the country can play it for that 2 year period.
There you go. Love public TV.
Yep.
I remember years ago when they had It's a Wonderful Life on public TV. Remember those years? And you'd see it every day. At any time, you could flip the TV and you could see it. So you might be able to see Dr. Mixon and get lots of information
there. Mm. We've just got this one. And then we're thinking if this one is successful, we'll probably do another one next year.
There you go.
Great.
Or in the spring. Or knowing Dr. Mixon right after he writes his next book on his winter break. You know, he'll have a week or so off.
Yeah.
All right. Believe it or not, you are listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Mixon back after 20 days in Europe. And of course, we've been talking about what he was planning to do. Now we got to share the news of what he did do. And now he is back and ready to jump on the phones with you and your questions about your health, maybe a diagnosis, maybe something that you're dealing with, maybe a chronic illness or something you just don't understand. We would love to talk with you about what is ailing you. Here is that number to get through. And phone lines are wide open right now. It's 206-644-6006. The number again is 206-644-6006. I'm Lynette here with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Leading Edge Medicine on another beautiful Saturday morning, taking your calls. And we are free on the lines right now. This is a great time to get in with your questions. 206-644-6006 with Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon here. Dr. Mixon back from his 20-day trip. You left right after the radio show and you flew back right before the radio show, the night before.
That's
so,
right.
Welcome back. He's ready to answer your questions. So give us a call at 206-644-6006. Now, Dr. Umat, I love that you are the medical director of Bella Medica and also of Longevity. What are some of the patients talking about, or what is new, or what should we be aware of that patients need to know about?
Well, on the clinical side, we have obviously the Viasure machine, which has been we have been using for erectile dysfunction for men in both longevity medical clinics as well as radio show listeners. We've added the musculoskeletal component to that for tendonitis. Mm. So when we know the regional diagnosis and, you know, you have rotator cuff tendonitis and you've had a flare-up, well, we can manage that. We can treat that for you. It just – the settings are different, but patients really get very good results. We've treated some patients with plantar fasciitis and piriformis syndrome very successfully. And then the newer application of that device was, Dr. Pentland talked about it last week, was for treatment of benign prostatic hyperplasia, or
what is that?
BPH. For men, as they get older, their prostate gland enlarges and they have difficulty in emptying their bladder. So they have symptoms like frequency of urination and urgency, incomplete emptying of the bladder, and nighttime waking up to use the washroom.
And so this can help with that.
Wow.
Yeah, it really does. It's, you know, there's not a lot of studies on it, but, you know, the best study that I've seen so far was just, it was a 3-month study, but they treated the patients. And at the end of the 3-month study, they still had good function. They were urinating much better.
Right.
And so we don't know, will it work for, you know, 4 months, 6 months, a year?
Or longer, we don't know.
We just don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've had one person come in for it so far, and it really helped.
Well, and actually a very interesting story Dr. Pentland shared with us was that patient was looking to travel to California to have it done by a clinic and then reached out to us because we had the device. Uh-huh. And so we did our research. Dr. Pentland spoke to the company, found out the protocols, read the research articles, and then the patient was very happy. Now, he was offered medication, but he chose not to use the medication.
Uh-huh.
He wanted
okay.
to do something non-surgical that might help him. And he was very happy with the results. So a gentleman in his 50s, and we're very happy for him, obviously.
Sure.
But something that we will continue to pursue. The only, not a side effect, was the issue was, you know, some perineal pain that he had. Or discomfort. I shouldn't say pain.
Okay.
I should say discomfort that resolved very quickly. He came in for several treatments a week apart, and he's very happy with the results he's gotten. So for men out there struggling with BPH that maybe are on medication or don't want to go on medication and are looking for alternatives, definitely worth giving a try.
Well, no, I thought the fascinating thing in the study, the published study, was that these were people that medications had failed.
Yeah.
Okay, these were men with prostatic hypertrophy, was interfering with their ability to urinate, and the medications had either stopped working or had never worked for them.
Wow.
And they did the device, and at the end of the 3-month study, we're still showing significant improvement.
Yeah,
so
very good.
That's impressive. If the acoustic wave therapy gives you better results, even when failure of the medications.
That's impressive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Well, I mean, it can help so many men that are struggling out there. So I'm
And this
very
is
helpful.
Something, too, that you do for longevity patients, but also for patients that are not longevity.
That is correct.
Right? Okay.
I mean, the process is simple. You just call the clinic and make an appointment. You will consult with the providers. There are 3 doctors and one in each clinic that will be doing it. And then if you're ready, they can perform the treatment on the same day after the consult.
Okay.
And that's easy. You can just schedule it as a treatment for BPH, and they will understand what you want, and they'll schedule you with the right person. So radio show listeners as well as longevity patients.
Okay. And
obviously, the first person was not a longevity patient.
That's right. Yes.
Just a listener.
Yes. And ViaSure is what you're wanting to ask about, and we have a question about that a little bit later. But here's that number. Let me give that to you if you're interested in making a phone call or a consultation for ViaSure for either ED or BPH, mm-hmm. is what you called it. Uh-huh. Here's the number to call, 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. All right. The phone lines are like all lit up. Everybody's got their coffee and they've got their questions. And it looks like we're going to be talking to men and stay kind of on this topic right now. Rich calling in from Toledo. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Rich.
I had a question in regards to a woman's libido. I know Dr. Mixon's been doing this a long time as far as a hormonal replacement. And I'm going to say, barring a psychological
an emotional response? Yes.
Have you, when you restore hormonal levels, have you seen women or in your practice become more amicable, more wanting to have sexual relations with her husband, at least have that mind or have a thought around it?
Well, now you're limiting it to the husband. So,
stop.
Yeah. Yes. And the literature is replete. There are a lot of peer-reviewed studies showing that testosterone supplementation in women with anhedonia, that is, they are not interested in sex, that it does, in fact, increase libido, sexual desire, and performance in a fair number of women. Not in everybody. It is not universal.
Right. Especially if the woman had it previously, but now it's declined.
Yes.
And it's a declination of hormones, then yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there are women that have gone through their entire life and have had low drive. And are you familiar with what we call the bell curve?
Yeah.
Okay. A bell curve, basically, you know, it looks like a bell. And everything in biology fits a bell curve. Some people will be at one extreme of the curve and some are at the other extreme. And desire for sex, libido, the desire for sexual activity fits the bell curve. There is a small coterie of people, men and women, at the low end of that have never had any desire for sex. Never in their entire life. And adding hormones to them is not going to do it. This is the way they're made. Okay. There are others at the far other extreme that are just obsessed with their sexuality. If they're not having sex twice a day, every day of their life, they're miserable. And most people are somewhere between those two vast extremes. Okay. The other confounder with sexuality is the mating and dating dance. Every animal on this planet has an inborn mating ritual that's built into their brainstem. Okay. You know, with a stork, the male stands on one leg and dances in a circle to attract females.
I would think that'd be a little awkward, but hey, it's
yes.
Female flamingo, yeah, right?
With pigeons, they spread their tail feathers and puff up their figures to make themselves look as large and imposing as possible to impress the female. Humans also have brainstem-based sexual mating and dating behaviors. When men and women are interested in finding a mate, they walk differently. They talk differently. The women do the gaze. They look at the guy and then they look down and they do the hair flip which demonstrates their, and men stand up taller. They tend to put their hands in their pockets and they kind of do a mild hip thrust that shows off their male endowment to the females in the room. There's a whole.
Dr. Yuman and I are going, what?
This is actually.
Really? Okay.
This has actually been studied in length, and there are books that are hundreds of pages long that catalog male and female flirtatious behavior.
Okay. I missed those classes in medical school.
They didn't have those
in medical school either. But I read
not
the
have
books.
Them at the Christian college I went to.
They actually had a group of psychologists that went to singles bars.
Okay,
and they spent weeks every weekend evening in the singles bars, cataloging the behaviors of the men and the women as they're trying to attract a mate.
Okay.
So you can actually read these things. It's really kind of fascinating, the things we males and females do to attract each other.
Yes. Should we take a break real quick, Dr.
Okay,
Nixon?
We'll take a break.
We got to continue on this. Rich, you hang there.
I will.
Right there, and we're going to continue talking about restoring libido. And the differences between males and females as we age. We are Leading Edge Medicine, and we welcome your phone call, 206-644-6006. Continuing with Rich, and we will be talking with David and Dennis in just a few moments. Stay right there.
After driving out the memory of the way things might have been, song he remembers well. We were rolling through the Rockies, we were up above the clouds, when a station out of Jackson played that.
Dr. Mixon, what song is this? I don't recognize this one.
The song remembers.
Okay.
The song remembers when.
I'm going to have to listen to the whole thing. Welcome back, Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samiri Umat in the studio. And we're continuing talking about restoring libido. Dr. Mixon is here talking with Rich.
Well, and so, you know, we all have this built-in thing. And it is there are stylized behaviors that men and women have when they are attracting a mate. And one of the things that you see almost universally is that whatever a person's baseline sexual desire is, it goes into overdrive during the dating, mating period. Oh. And so that causes misunderstandings, because women who would normally maybe desire intercourse once a week suddenly want it daily.
And so the man thinks that's
so the guy thinks this is who she is.
Whoa. Yeah. You know?
And so we get this misunderstanding, because and the women don't do it on purpose. It is part of the brain stem, the way we're made.
Okay.
She is designed to display her sexuality and her attractiveness and her fertility. You know, I can make babies.
Okay. And what was that, Rich? You had a comment?
I just want to say this real quick about women. I think this is the case. Women are the gatekeepers.
Yes. Yeah, they generally are. Men are designed to spread sperm as widely as possible to as many mates as possible. That's just the way men are made. And women, on the other hand, are the nurturers. They have to carry a baby for 9 months. They then are tethered to that child. And, you know, humans predated bottle feeding by millennia. Mm. And so the baby is tethered to her breast. That's what keeps the child alive. And so she is designed, once she has that baby, to nurture, and this is one of the changes in women. When a man marries a woman, he's marrying four different people. Okay, because first of all, he gets attracted to the mating and dating, the hypersexual phase of humanity. She gets pregnant, her brain changes shape. when a woman is pregnant and those hormones shifts come about, her brain first swells a bit, it enlarges, and then it shrinks. And it's being rewired. The microcircuitry in her brain is actually changing so that in the mating and dating, he was the focus of her world. He was the reason for her existence. And then when the baby came, she physically rewires her brain so that she is now a mother. She's no longer a lover. Mm-hmm. She is a mother. And motherhood takes priority over everything else. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But men often have difficulty adjusting to that.
Sure.
Because they've gone from a time, a hypersexual time, when everything is focused on him, and now he takes a distant second place.
Okay. Well, what about when we age?
That causes some real relationship issues.
Okay. What are the other two?
Yeah.
Well, then, you know... Let me finish with the brain rewiring.
Okay.
This is a dangerous period because you've got changes in the microcircuitry of the brain. And a small percentage of women will go into a significant depressive episode, postpartum depression.
Okay, we've heard of this.
Which is downright quasi-suicidal in nature. And a tiny fraction of 1% will become overtly psychotic. When that brain is rewired, the connections don't come back together properly. And these are the mothers who, you know, drive into the lake and kill five kids or, you know, and they are overtly crazy as hell. You know, and there's just no way around that. So you've got your baseline.
Yeah.
Then you've got your hypersexuality for your dating. Then you've got your maternal phase.
Right.
And then as aging, remember, we are not designed to live as long as we are living today.
Mm-hmm.
We are designed to get slow, fat, weak, and die. Mother Nature wants us dead and out of the way and quit consuming resources the next generation needs. Mother Nature is not a kind, loving earth mother. She's a cold-hearted, vindictive, dangerous bitch. And she will kill you if you give her the chance. And so we are designed to stay strong and durable long enough to protect our children until they can have children. Once your children hit their teens and are capable of reproduction, you're supposed to get slow, fat, weak, dumb, and get out of the way. The problem with the plan is we don't like it.
No.
Yeah, and we don't want to cooperate, which is what Longevity Medical Clinic is all about.
Right.
We intervene so that you don't have that rapid decline from 35 to 40 on. And that used to be when most people died. In 1900, the average American lifespan was 47.
Wow.
Okay, 47.
Wow.
Okay. And then it peaked in 2019 at 78.8.
Wow.
And now it's back down to 76.4.
Yeah. Wow, that's almost 2 years. And
yeah, we've lost 2 years in the last three, and most of this caused by obesity.
Wow.
In America, the rest of the world did not go down. They had COVID.
Wow.
They had drugs. Their survival has not dropped. America is the fattest country on the planet, and the obesity is killing Americans younger and younger.
Wow.
That's the cause. So we, among all the industrialized nations, we are the only one that has a steep drop in our survival, and it's due to our weight.
Wow.
It's that simple.
I'll let that sink in for a second, but I want to digress because you said something very interesting before you went on vacation, and that was that if you are healthy at age 75, you can add 10 more years to your lifespan.
11.
11.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah, if you are healthy at 75, that is, if you are normal weight and you are in good general health, you can statistically count on 11 more years till 86.
Hmm.
And if you are still healthy at 86, you've got a statistical probability that you'll make it to 94.
Wow.
All right.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
great.
So the trick is to stay healthy until
right.
your mid-70s.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to our change. Then part of that decline is the decline in hormone levels.
Right.
Okay, the hormones are designed to go down so that we are less and less capable of healing and repairing and doing the things we need to do. And that impacts our sexuality. Mm-hmm. And so then eventually a woman loses by 50. She's lost 50% of her estrogen and 70% of her progesterone. And her sexuality is normally declining with that because the primary sex hormone in women is not estrogen. It's testosterone.
Wow.
A 20-year-old girl at the peak of her sex drive has 2.5 to 3 times more testosterone than she has estrogen. Mm. Okay. If we measure testosterone and estrogen in the same units, that is in nanograms per deciliter, an 18-year-old boy will have a total testosterone of 1,000 to 1,200. An 18-year-old girl will have a testosterone of 75 to 80. Okay. Her testosterone is less than 1/10 his. Mm-hmm. That's why his drive is so much greater than hers. That is part of what makes her the gatekeeper. But here's the thing people don't understand. Her testosterone is 75 to 80 nanograms per deciliter. Her estrogen is 30 to 35.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So women have a total testosterone and estrogen combined of about 100. And men are over 1,000.
Wow. Okay. That explains a few things there. And as we age, Rich is talking about here.
And women, so because women start so much lower than men, their decline is more rapid and more profound. A man at 60 has usually dropped his total testosterone from 1,000 to 1,200 down to about 200 to 300.
Wow.
But at her peak, she was never over 75 or 80.
Okay.
So even at 60, he's higher than she was at 18.
Mm.
I mean, women talk about being hormonal. We're the hormonal ones.
The men are the hormonal ones.
We are saturated with steroid hormones.
Wow.
It's not the women.
Oh, wow. Oh, I hear the music. Rich, hang with us there. We're going to wrap this up.
We'll wrap this up after the next break.
But we're going to continue talking about testosterone and a couple questions about Viasure with people that were listening earlier. We will be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine, talking about the libido in older women in just a moment. Stay right there.
Race is on and here comes pride in the backstretch. Heartache rolling to the inside. My tears are holding back there, but I'm trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running.
Oh yeah,
I like this one.
We're back. We love this song. Yeah.
It's all in here.
Here comes heartache and the winner loses all.
Oh, we like that one.
This is my favorite song about heartache.
Because, there you go.
This is a guy singing about having... She blew him off on a phone call. She didn't even do it in person.
Today she'd do it on a text, I guess.
Probably.
Yeah.
But it's it's the happiest, most upbeat song about heartache
of any
breakup I've ever heard.
Getting broken up. Okay, we've got a lot of callers to get to, Dr. Mixon. Let's finish up with Rich. So, Rich, you've gotten a lot of information here. Did you have another question for Dr. Mixon?
You have to finish.
Because were finishing
up. Finish this. Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway, what's happening is her hormone levels that started out a tiny fraction of his are dropping.
Already dropping as they
age. And by the time she's 50 or so, her levels are negligible. Mm. And so moving her back up, not to his levels, but to her youthful levels, will often help. Mm. Now, if she's one of those people at the low end of the curve and has never had interest, she's still going to have no interest. Mm. Yeah. and same thing for men. I know a couple in which the young woman had lovers in the past, and she met this guy and she thought he was, very respectful and kind and considerate because he never wanted to have sex with her. And she thought he was just a very pious and religious person. And then they got married and she discovered he still had no desire for sex.
Oh, no.
And he's, and so, you know, it was a matter of, well, are his hormones off? Or no, his hormones are fine. He's, it's just the way he's made. He happens to be that small fraction of men that can go through life celibate and perfectly happy. And he is a healthy, normal for him man. And adjusting his hormones is going to do nothing. You know, and the same thing for a woman that starts off this way. On the other hand, you know, most people are somewhere in between the extremes, and that's just it. But women, because they start off with a very modest level, by the time they're 50 or 60, 70% of them have lost interest in sex. And we can rekindle that in a significant portion of them, but not everybody. And it's just the way it works.
I just How about that, Rich?
Yeah, I just had a quick question on my hormone levels. I'm 69 years old. When I took my 68, my testosterone was close to 900. Now, I'd only measured my total testosterone, so I had no idea what my free testosterone was. But so basically, this, to summarize, it's testosterone for the women that needs to be raised. That will increase their libido. Now, you mentioned this before previously, that if that's not, if that won't happen, for to maintain a successful marriage, is there something that you can give to a man to knock his desire down? What was that?
Yes, there are. There are things such as medroxyprogesterone acetate, which actually used to be, back in the bad old days, would give it to sexual offenders to knock their libido out. It works pretty well, and it's a shot about every 2 to 3 months. And it knocks down sex drive very efficiently.
Okay. All right. So it would be something that I'd give. All right. I just want, I you know, what you mentioned about the fact that men like to go spread their seed around. I don't want to do that. I love my wife, and I love only her. I don't want to do that. So
no, I do understand. But, you know, when I'm talking about the human race as a population, not individuals. So,
but well, you're correct. I mean, the desire and thought is there, but there's another overriding factor called my morality, and knowing going through this previously, that I don't want to do that. So, thank you very much. That was very, very helpful.
You're welcome.
So much good information there. Thank you so much for your call, Rich.
You know, I'll only add a little bit to that. The question was libido, and Jerry, you answered it beautifully. But sometimes there are physical causes. He mentioned some of them. But, you know, pain with intercourse is a symptom that women sometimes are reluctant to discuss.
We call it vaginismus.
But there are certain things we can do to help. And with our Vitalia, our master estheticians have become very good at treating. And they're getting very good feedback.
Good.
So that is also something. It's just a radiofrequency heat treatment, no surgery.
And that's for the women, right?
And that's for the women.
Okay.
And it does help. So, you know, there are options. So, again, a consult and a discussion with somebody who's knowledgeable about it is probably a good idea.
That's a
Might
good idea.
Help them.
All right. Leading Edge Medicine continues. We are headed to Olympia. David on the line. Hi there, David. Thank you so much for waiting.
Hello, David.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Hello.
You're here.
What can we do for you?
We're waiting for your call, waiting for your question.
Good. I've been listening to you for a long time, and some other doctors, too. And, boy, this the listening to the show has made me come up with a whole bunch of stuff I wasn't intending to ask about. But I'm that 60-year-old male that naturally is getting ready to die.
Oh, dear.
According to what you just said.
I understand.
And we don't want that, David.
And I have been taking testosterone supplements and DHEA. Those are the two that I was really low in on all the tests. And I've heard you say, and some other doctors say, that they give their sex hormones only topically. My testosterone test results have just kind of been all over the map, and my doctor has recommended trying injections, which I'm scheduled to start, and I just wanted to know if there's any significant reason not to.
We, out of our 700 or 800 men on testosterone probably have two or three on shots.
Right.
It's not our favorite. Generally, what will happen with the injection is your level goes too high when you first get the shot. Right. And then over the course of the week or so, it goes down through a normative range. And then when it gets too low, you take another shot. And so you kind of do this porpoising from too high through normal, too low, and then too high again. And that's just not a pattern that I like. I prefer to move men consistently, well, men and women, actually, for all hormones. I prefer to move them into the middle of a healthy range and keep it there every day. I don't like to go too high, and I don't like to go too low. And with the shot, I can guarantee you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Also with the shots, you know, people are fine starting them out, but then they really get, it gets old, you're having to inject yourself when you're doing it consistently. And then testicular atrophy is...
We can virtually guarantee that your testicles are going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, and eventually you'll barely be able to find them.
That's just
one of the side effects of the shot. The urologists, of course, say, well, it doesn't really matter. He's not trying to make babies anymore, so who cares? My feeling about that, being a male, is I was born with a pair. I want to die with a pair. And, you know, I don't want them to go away in the meantime. So.
Well, I mean, I've already had a considerable amount of that. So.
And again, you know, you're right. Some people, it is a big issue, and for others, it's not.
That's right.
We do address it individually. We use HCG and other things, and, you know, we monitor that very carefully.
Yes.
We're sensitive about this sensitive issue.
That's right. Because if a guy is getting testicular atrophy, we have an injection we can give called human chorionic gonadotropin. Take a little shot about twice a week, and over the period of the next couple, 2 or 3 months, they'll grow nice, big, and robust again.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm also having serious BPH issues.
All right.
Ah, we should talk about that.
Well, hang on, my friend. You hear the music? Yeah, you hear the music. We got to take a break, but we'll talk to you about your BPH in just a minute.
All right. David, you hang on the line, and Dennis and Charlie will be talking with you in hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine, which is coming up in just a few moments. Here's that number to get through and talk with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umet. It's 206-644-6006. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment.